Hallelujah. You know, I had a my fence wasn't you know where the poles are on my fence. It was broken. It's been broken for a long time. And I left it and I left it and I left it. Finally, the fence is being held up by the electric wire because the pole is hanging over to the neighbor's side. And when I couldn't take it anymore, I said, let me go out and fix the fence. And finally, went out and put some 6x6 and put it in the ground and got the fence going. I went and visit a friend yesterday or day before. I can't remember what it was. And I saw him cleaning up. He said, it's been a long time. And some of the weeds and the trees, and they were so big. It was giving him a hard time to clean up. Why does we wait until it's out of control to try to handle it? I don't know what that is. And sometimes it's so out of control, we don't handle it at all because then we think it's too much. Let it just stay overgrown. We do that in our spiritual lives. What is your excuse? I don't know what it is. For not doing what God... You know, sometimes we use tradition. The church have a lot of tradition, and we use tradition sometimes not to do what God called us to do. But as we in the book of Matthew and chapter 14, I want to show you four truths that I found in chapter 14, about four truths I found in chapter 14. So Matthew... Matthew chapter 14. No, 15. Right? Yeah, 15. We already did 14. 15. 15. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why does your disciples break the traditions of the elders and don't wash their hands before they eat? Well, if I did that and sit down at the table, Jill says, have you washed your hands? And I would get up and go wash my hands, even though I don't want to. Jesus replied, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Boy, that's harsh. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever helps you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. He is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied against you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. First truth I want to let you know about, the truth is that when we stand up for what the Word of God says, somebody is going to come against us. Here are the disciples, and they decided that they're going to eat some food without washing their hands. Kids, that's a no-no by your parents. But I remember I'll be working out in the shop at Sears, and they would bring some pizza in, and I just take a piece, and it down the hatch. You know, I never remember once getting sick from that. That's right, down the hatch. I think it was good medicine. Some people wouldn't like that at all. What are some of the church traditions that we have that is sacred, but has nothing to do with right or wrong, or righteousness or unrighteousness that we hold so dear. You know, one of the traditions we have, I was thinking, I even went and Googled it, because, you know, whatever is online is truth. And it says, number one tradition of the church is the order of worship. The order of worship. You come to church, the worship leader gets up and he sings some songs. And if you're really traditional, the fast one goes first, the slow ones goes last. Then they take up the offering. They may have a testimony time. They will sing one more song to get you in the mood. And then the preacher comes up and preaches. That's tradition. Tradition. Do you know if we were to break that tradition, some people wouldn't like it at all? They won't think that the purpose we came here for is to worship God, no matter how the lineup is in the line. Now, is our tradition wrong? No. It's not wrong. But if we allow that tradition to get in the way of what God wants to do, then it becomes something that is wrong. Here's a truth I found from this. Jesus could have used any example that he wanted. Do you know that? He could have used stealing, because the Pharisees were stealing from the people. He could have used stealing. He could have used, he could have said, you guys don't follow your teachings. He could have used that. But he used this, the fifth commandment. He used the fifth commandment. Honor your mother and your father. Now, I don't know why he used it, but I have my theory. I'll give you my theory. So when you leave here, don't go and say, this is what the word of God said. This is my theory. I always thought the Ten Commandments are listed in its priority of order. I've always thought so. The first four is to God. And when you read them, they're listed in the way they have the most power, till it gets lesser and lesser and lesser. Now, if you don't have that view, that's fine. But that's how I see it. And guess which one he used? He used the first one after God. Do you realize that? The first commandment that comes after the one that deals with God comes with the one that deals with your mother and your father. And the Pharisees found a tradition so that they don't have to do what the commandment says to do. What is standing in your way? What tradition you are holding to keep you from doing what God says to do? Well, you don't know my mother. You don't know my father. You don't know how I was brought up. You don't know what happened to me. I was talking to somebody the other day, and these were their words to me. Well, the apple don't fall far from the tree. What excuse are you using not to follow the commandment of God? They were using tradition. Because the tradition was, if you say, all my finances is for God, then you don't have to give your mother or your father none. None for you, because I already state it's for God. And when I say it's for God, it means I'm going to use it in a godly manner. Folks, I believe Jesus used that text because it's one of the most important commandments when coming to our relationship this way. I really do. It's the most important. I went away. I came to the States in 1984. I didn't go back till 1994. And then I went back later, I think in 2005. And in 2005, I saw my mother in a state that I said, boy, I am neglecting some of the honoring I need to be doing. My mother was sleeping on the couch. She didn't have a bed. And through God's provision, I was able to get her a bed. And from that day on, every time I went, I made a vow that I'll do something to make my mother's life more comfortable. The next time I went, I bought her a washing machine. I did not want my mother to be outside scrubbing with a washing machine. I saw her one time, and I went there. She was bathing outside by the tap. I said, you need to get a shower in the inside. The next time I went, I bought her a dining room table and chairs. And then I had plans to put some tile in on her floor because I wanted to honor my mother. And plus, I wanted to make up for all those years I didn't think, even had a thought about her. But she passed away before that was done, but I did it anyway. Folks, your relationship with your parents, young people, is important. And there's no qualifying statement in the Word of God. We like to qualify, like how the Pharisees were qualifying so they could do what you don't understand. Fooey. It didn't give qualifications. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It's the first commandment with promise. And I believe Jesus used that commandment because it's very, very important. How can you have good relations with everybody else except with the ones that God has given you as parents? The instruments that God used to bring you into this world. I try to see my father every time I go to Trinidad. I didn't get to see him this time because I was too busy. And I've been thinking, I need to go sometime where I could go just visit him. My father had no place in my life. I was practically raised by my grandparents. But God didn't say to me, don't honor them if they did not raise you. As a kid, I always used to go see my father, maybe for a couple days, maybe for a week, but he didn't used to keep me. I go to see him, but I stayed with his mother. But my desires, I still honor him. I call him father. I go see him. I talk with him. We can't even carry on good conversation because I don't know what to talk. It's uncomfortable. But God says that for a reason. We make too many excuses not to do what God says to do. That's a good truth. I hope that this will bring some light to you. And then he says, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Here's another truth. You could know how to honor God. You could know all the right things to say. In fact, you could lead a good Bible study. You know how to pray. You know how to praise God. You know how to cross the old lady across the street. You know how to do what we did the other day, was driving down the road, and this car is in the middle of the road. Everybody's passing this car by. We pulled up. We looked, Lance and I, and we saw the woman. We say, you need some help? She ran out of gas. We parked ours by the light next to hers, got out and pushed her across the road, get her out of traffic. Somebody was coming to help her. We could know how to do all those things. In fact, we could know how to help people. But we're not doing it unto God. We're doing it because it's something that we need to do. Because he says here what? We honor him with lips, but not with our hearts. We worship him in vain. The Bible has a good saying. It says, I'll show you what I do by my faith. And I believe that's James, in James. We cannot sit in church and hear the word of God and hear it over and over and over and over again and we do nothing. What we are saying is, I am honoring God with just my words, but my heart is far from him. Here's another thing. Where am I? Not to follow the truth has its rewards. Do you all know that? Not to follow the truth have its reward. Let's go to verse 13. Where am I? 13. He replied. Now, here's the thing. When you do the truth, people get offended. Let's start at 12. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? You know, when I was sitting in the office this morning and I was preparing this, I said, Lord, help me. I hope there may be people today that I'm going to have to say this and they go get offended. I really did. And I wonder for just a minute, I wonder if I should preach something else today. People are going to get offended when the truth is given. I don't care who you are. Somewhere along the line, if you are a person of the truth, you will be offending people. You know, one of the things, I don't go on Facebook and put what I really believe. You know why? It's because I don't want to offend nobody and I don't want nobody writing on my page anything. So when people put on their gays should have the same right, I stay quiet, because if I put the truth, I know for once they will be offended. There is Pharisees and Sadducees out there that will be offended. So I leave it alone. But when I stand up behind here, I'm going to tell you what the truth is. And when I walk the street and you ask me what the truth is, I'm going to tell you the truth. He replied, he said, every plan that my Father has not planted and will be pulled up by its root. Leave them there. They are blind guides. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the pit. What's that pit? Hell. Period. If you don't want to comply to the truth, hell is your destiny. You know, they say we don't preach hell, fire, and brimstone. Well, here is one today. Walk in traditions. Walk by hearing the word of God and let go through one ear and come out the other. Your destination is hell. Plain and simple. It's time you wake up. If you can't forgive, your destination is hell. It says, if you don't forgive, guess what? Jesus said, you're not going to be forgiven. I'm sorry. If you think you're going to appeal to his good nature, try it. There's a reward. Somebody texted me this scripture and I thought I want to use it. Somebody texted me this scripture this week. And it's in 1 John and I want to read it. It seems like God always brings things just in time. 1 John chapter 3. And it texts me from verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sin. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. This is what it's saying. If you are in a state of being repetitious in your sinning, you are not a child of God. Wait. That was my words. Let me read his words. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continue to sin has either seen him or knows him. There is a reward for those who don't listen to the truth and who keeps on sinning. And that's apart from him. What kind of reward after this are you expecting? Not to follow the truth has its reward. If you want to live for God and to follow God and to be with him for eternity, we cannot be those who keep on sinning. You know, the Lord has been showing me a few things about my own life. You ever thought you have a lot of things conquered in your life and ever so often you get a surprise? And the Lord been teaching me, because sometimes we neglect areas because we think they're fine and we never keep the thorns down, keep the bush. See, I saw him cleaning up that yard. I was watching him cleaning up and I said, you know, if he was doing that on a weekly basis, it wouldn't have been that bad at all. If he was maintaining, it would have been all right. Some of us, we don't even do any maintenance in our spiritual life. We don't read the word of God on a daily basis. We don't spend time with God on a daily basis. We don't listen to the type of music that takes us into the Holy of Holies. We don't consult God on anything. And when we do that, we are allowing the things that are in our lives that you have already defeated and conquered, they may start to be growing and developing in your life again, and you haven't even seen it. I am going to just ask you all, don't allow your garden to be infested with sin. Keep a regular maintenance on your life through the word of God, through prayer, through worship. Worship is not just coming here and singing a few songs, listening to the word of God. That is not it. It's what you do in your life on a continual basis, living your life. Verse 15. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, back to Matthew chapter 14, 15. I keep saying 14. Yep, you guys just keep me straight. And verse 15. And Peter said, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still so dull? That's an interesting response. What it says to me, they should have been at the point in their relationship with Christ that they should have understood what he was saying. Isn't that giving you that feeling? Doesn't that give you that feeling? He says, are you still not understanding what I'm saying? You should be at the point where you are understanding what I'm saying. Here is the thing. I'm going to ask you the same question. Why are you so dull? If you are still living the way you are living, you are dull. You should be understanding that what God says, he means. Some of us, I guarantee you, you want to see Jesus. You know, I don't know about you guys. I would love to have a face-to-face experience with Jesus while I'm still on this earth. I'm not talking about dying and going. I've heard people who have had an experience, and I know it's a scary experience. But I know this, I wouldn't be the same after. You see, I'm not worried about what's going to happen when I see his face, because I know it's going to be scary. And I know I'm going to be afraid. And I know I'm going to feel like I'm going to die. But I guarantee you, when I get up back, I'll be a different, changed person with an experience face to face with Jesus. And that's why I want it. I do not want Jesus to say to me, "Why are you so dull? You have read the Bible 5 times and you're still dull. You've been praying and seeking, but you're still dull." Something was wrong because the disciples were not getting it. And then he says, "Do you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then goes out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth comes from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, idolatry, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make a man unclean.